thank God for each and every one of you. So we're going to get into the message. And you know, one thing about it is, I found out by being a Christian that if it's not easy, it probably ain't God. Okay? Man will try to make you jump through all kind of hoops and do cartwheels and all that kind of stuff. And then the man will say, well, now you got to do a little bit more, you know, praise God. But, you know, man tries to hook you up and trap you up and tie you up in religion, amen. But guess what? God said that he'll make the way of salvation so plain that even a fool won't err. And I thank God that, you know, even if Bible says that even a fool, when he holds his peace, he's considered to be wise, right? But I thank God that none of us are fools, amen? Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. All of us know there is a true and living God, amen? And we can depend on him every day, amen? So we're definitely not fools. But, you know, when God gives us an instruction, it's simple. It's simple. He just wants to know if we're going to be obedient and follow it. So I'm going to probably kill some sacred cows today, this morning. But I think in that, it's going to set a lot of us free today. Amen. How many realize that religion is man's attempt to get to God? That's what religion is. I don't want religion. I was saved late in life. In fact, I was 26 and a half when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. So I wasn't brought up in the church. I didn't know how church folks were supposed to act and all that stuff because I wasn't raised in the church. I used to go to church, and my older sister, she would dress us up on Easter. And we'd go get some Easter eggs and some candy from the church. And then we'd wait till next year and go again, you know. But I didn't go to church. So I didn't know the things of God. And then when I first got saved, I felt kind of bad. But the Lord said, well, you know, he told me, he said, son, don't feel bad. You know why? You ain't got all that religious teaching to overcome. And so when the preacher stood up there and said it, and I went to church, and the preacher said it, I felt that was God talking. And I believed it. And I was obedient to everything. I was like a baby. I was like a sponge. I soaked up the Word of God like it was, you know, like I'd never tasted it before, and I hadn't. Because I was so pathetic that when I would go to church, I loved God. And I knew I loved God. Nobody could talk me away from God saving me. I knew I was saved. But if you asked me to find it in the Bible, I probably couldn't find it. Probably couldn't even tell you what John 3:16 was. But I knew I was saved. Amen. God did something on the inside that nobody could deny. The very day when I got saved, it was on a Sunday. I went to church. I went to work that Monday. And somebody that I hated, had a mutual hate for. It was my supervisor. We had a mutual hate for each other. And I hated him, and he hated me. But I was in the Army, and so I knew how to act like I had some sense around folks. But when it was just one-on-one, I told him what I thought about him. You know. But anyway, make a long story short. But the next day when I went to church, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to tell him about Jesus. I couldn't give him no scripture verse, but I told him, Jesus is real. God loves you. God loves you. And you know what? He wanted to send me to mental hygiene. He was. But by the grace of God, I was there for another month or something before I went to Korea. But anyway, it was my desire that not only he be saved, but everybody else be saved. That's something that God had to do. I didn't have love for anybody. Definitely not my enemy, my supervisor. But I, in fact, I would do stuff just to make him, just a mess of his day. Yeah, you know that's not the love of God. I didn't know God. I didn't have it inside. But the next day, I had nothing but the love of God. And anyway, to make a long story short, he let me witness to him. Now, I'm going to save this for another time, but I could go into detail and tell you some things that he did to try to mess me up and hurt me and stuff. And I had went a week before to, I was going to go to Equal Opportunity and expose everything that they had did. But then and the only thing that saved him, the commander, and the first sergeant was that I got saved. Because I was gonna go to EO and just expose everything they had done for me. They tried to keep me from being promoted. But yet this other guy, the same guy that I hated, they falsified the paperwork so he could go before the promotion board when he didn't go before the promotion board. And one little lowly clerk in the oily room told me about it. And I told my dad about it. My dad had been in the military. He said, son, whatever you do, it's going to be a fight. But he said, if you, whatever you do, stick to your gun. And I was getting ready to go that next week to go to the, expose everybody, to the IG and to the, equal opportunity. But anyway, it's only by the love of God that they got saved, their careers got saved. Cause I didn't even do it. All I wanted to do, because I had that leverage on them, you know, they listened to me tell them about Jesus even though they didn't want to. Cause they were afraid I was going to spill the beans. I didn't. Anyway, but anyway, what I knew, one thing about it is I didn't have a lot of religious training and stuff, but when I heard the preacher speak it, it was just like God himself was speaking. I tried to obey everything that I was told. And I wanted to go to church every night. Every night when I got off work, I wanted to find, I was in somebody's church. And I was like Forrest Gump. I thought everybody loved God, including the church folks. And they loved each other, you know. And I wiped up my bank account and gave it away to people. Gave it away to people. I sold my car. The proceeds, I gave it away to people. Because I read it, the preacher was saying, you know, you should depend on God. God's going to take care of you. And I said, oh, yeah, that's right. What do I need money for? But I was so naive. You know what I'm saying? I just followed everything because I believed that was God speaking to me. But you know what? I found out that really it only gets complicated when we get saved a little while. And then we think we know our way around the word. And then all of a sudden, it takes a priest, a Baptist, and a rabbi to convince us there's something to the word of God. Amen. But you know, the word of God is simple. It's simple. And because it's so simple, a lot of times we get tripped up and trapped up and we don't follow it. So I just want to tell you something. Now, a lot of times people think, well, you're the pastor. You got to read the word. Well, guess what? I got to read the word. Okay, because every member has to read the word. Every member has to read the word. And guess what? I know that I'm anointed. You know why I know I'm anointed? Because the Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of me. But guess what? I want you to, today I'm going to bring some news to each and every one of you. You got to know who you are in Jesus and what you have in Christ. And guess what? God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Guess what? Josh, you're anointed. Minister Beverly, you're anointed. Sister Pat, you are anointed. We live in the best covenant than there ever was on the planet. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and began his earthly ministry, it was made available for every believer to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and endued with power. So guess what? You're anointed to do what you do. You're anointed. You got the anointing on you. He got a college degree and got certified by the state of Florida, right? By the state of Florida. He's a web designer and stuff, but he's anointed. He's anointed. He's anointed. Cecilia's a school teacher. Guess what? She kids gravitate to her. And I just love my daughter and she's a school teacher too, right? But she loves those children. She loves those children. And in fact, if she don't show up, the children just go all to pieces. Where's Carrie? Where's Carrie? Because they grown to love her. And she's just a special ed teacher, but their day is messed up when she doesn't show up. So she can very seldom take a day off because of that. But it takes dedication. See, dedication. Anybody can work for a paycheck and try to teach somebody. They're not going to be successful. The students aren't going to learn from them. Students know that they don't really love them. Students know they're just trying to get that paycheck every 2 weeks. But the students can sense when you really love them. And guess what? I know one thing about my wife, Cecilia. She's hard on them. She demands a lot out of them. But they know, bottom line is they know that she has their best interest at heart. And a lot of times, one of her supervisors said, they call you Miss Green. She said, Miss Green. Miss Green. She said, Miss Green. My name is Miss Hicks. He said, no, Miss Green. And she said, well, all the students, you know, your students say, Miss Hicks, she's so green. But guess what? They love her. They love her. Let her take a day of leave. In fact, she's going to take a day of leave, a couple of days leave next week now. They're going to be tore up. They're students. They do not like her to not show up. They don't want a substitute trying to impart anything into them. But they love her. Now, she's hard on them and she demands a lot. But the bottom line, at the end of the day, they know that she loves them. In fact, at Ed White School, you know, high school, the kids like to fight and everything like that. But one time, somebody was fighting, and the people, the students around say, look, y'all better cut that foolishness out. That's Miss Hicks. Y'all better not hurt her. They stopped fighting long enough just to get her out of the way, and then they went back to fight. But they love her. But see, that love is earned. Amen? It's anointing on her life to teach. In fact, the reason I marry her is because I couldn't sing. Let me tell you why. I was a new Christian, and I've been saved for about a year. I went to Korea, and I just sucked the life out of that pastor I had. I mean, I was around him all the time, sucking all the word out. But he just loved me anyway. He just loved me anyway. So anyway, Pastor Motes, and I got back. I got to Fort Gordon, Georgia, and I started going to Chapel 3. So Chapel 3, guess who went to Chapel 3? Sister McNair went to Chapel 3. So she was singing in the choir, and I'm saved about a little over a year, and still a babe in Christ and everything, and need a lot of attention, a lot of love, and so I kept hearing every Sunday from the pulpit, they would say, we need choir members. And I said, Lord, are you talking to me? You know? And then I said, well, maybe I can't really sing. They don't want me. And the next Sunday, we need choir members. I said, Lord, I didn't hear this about every Sunday. Maybe you're talking to me. So I went up and joined the choir, right? Well, they say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Hicks. Anyway, when they heard me sing, they knew they had made a mistake. Now, the singing gene, it skipped me. Junior got it. Alexis got it. My daughter. Of course, Cecilia got it. You know she got it. But it skipped me. My daddy can sing. He had a quartet. My daddy can sing, but I cannot sing. Now, if I'm standing next to Josh, oh, I sound real good. I'm real good. If I'm singing next to Roletta, I sound good. I see she was in a play, and guess what? She got up in the play and started singing a gospel song. I got up there and sung right there with her. Thought I was sounding good. But as long as I'm good next to somebody, I'm tone deaf, basically. You know, I can't carry a tune by myself. I can sound halfway decent. But by myself, a solo, oh no, I better sing so low that nobody can hear me. So anyway, they didn't have the heart to tell me that that wasn't my calling to be in the choir. So they put Pastor Mays up to it. So Pastor Mays went to me and said, Brother Hicks, with a man of your talents and ability, I think you'd be better service in the church, in the children's church. You go help Sister McNair in the children's church. And I said, okay, Pastor. So I went and helped Sister McNair, and I've been helping her for 33 years plus. She's now Sister Hicks. But you know, I thank God, you gotta stay in your lane, don't you? You gotta know where you're knowing it. Whatever you're passionate about, and you will do, even if nobody recognizes your pages, that's what you're anointed about. Everybody has a unique anointing that they were planted on this earth to fulfill. And it's a calling that God puts on your life. You can do it almost with no effort. And somebody else try to do it, and they'd have to struggle. Well, if when it comes so easy and it's, you're passionate about it and you love to do it, that's your anointing. And so, but all of us anointed. All of us anointed. All of us anointed. Now, you know what? The religious world, you know what they try to do? They try to say, leave it up to the fivefold ministry to do all the work in the church. That's what religious folks say, right? And also, they say, what about Jesus? And they say, yeah, well, he was the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God. Of course, he did many miracles and everything. So, but you know what? The truth be told, that's religious malarkey, okay? Because when you say that Jesus did all those things when he walked on earth in the 3.5 years, and then I'm excused from doing it, you're trying to make a way out. But see, Jesus didn't do it as the Son of God. The Bible says that when he came on the earth, he emptied himself. He emptied himself. Let's go to Philippians. I want to give you a scripture and verse for that. Philippians. Philippians D, if you have it. Philippians, can get that. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 5. Because if we think that because Jesus did these mighty miracles and lived a holy life on earth, was successful and never sinned, then it's impossible for us to walk like he did, then we'll have a way out. Oh, chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2. And does everyone have it? Then it gives us an excuse, doesn't it? But everything that Jesus did, he did not because he was the Son of God. He emptied himself of his power. He emptied himself of his power. They say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right? Hey, daughter. That's my daughter. That's one of my daughters, Josh's sister. Praise God. But he said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. You know what? Like minds think a lot. Guess what? You know how many teachers we got here in this room? One, two, three teachers that are full-time teachers. And you know, a lot of times, whether you realize it or not, when you start looking, those of you that are not married, when you start looking for a mate, you know what you look for? You look for what was role model to you when you were coming up. So most girls want a daddy, want a husband just like daddy. Because guess what? Daddy loves their little baby girl. Daddy can't see baby little girl might be scheming here and there. Daddy just see, that's my pretty little girl. And that's why that's why you gotta have balance. So you're better to have balance. My daughter Alexis could do stuff that I couldn't see. Now Cecilia could see it like that, like a New York second. She could see it in a New York second. That's a fast second. But I couldn't see it. All I saw is my pretty, precious little darling. Petunia, I call her Petunia. She don't want me to call her that around people, but I used to call her Petunia. Call my sweet Petunia. And I used to call her another nickname I have for Lactagoo. Lactagoo. I said, hey, Lactagoo. And she just beamed all over herself when I said that. But, you know, I would, now, you let Junior and Aiden, his brother, act up? Oh, I was on him like gravy on rice. But I couldn't see what what Alexis was doing. Cecilia could see stuff, and she would jerk Alexis by the chain. And I said, you've been too hard on her, you know. But you know what? So daddies all love their little babies. Amen. Tell you what, the most precious woman other than his wife in Pop Alexander's life is Carrie Wood. That's his daughter. He had some knucklehead boys, but he dealt with them boys. But Carrie, she was just his princess. She could do no wrong. Still is to this day. Cecilia. She's, I ain't gonna give her age, but anyway, guess what? Her dad is 79 years old. Guess what? He'll be 60. Okay, praise God. 60 years young, praise God. And guess what? He still adores her. He said, baby, you're just so pure, beautiful, you're so pretty. Oh, baby, it's nothing you can do. He still says, that's just how he is, every time he sees her. And see, so, most women, when they get married, they try to find somebody like their dad. Most boys, when they get married, they try to find somebody like their mom. Now, I'm not saying that's why Mario married Carrie, but that's one of the contributing factors where he realized it or not. Because she's a school teacher. She's a school teacher. And Cecilia's a school teacher. And my daughter here, she's a school teacher. But thank God for the school teachers, amen. Cause it's not a job, it's a calling, amen, to be successful. Now, so let's keep going on. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal God. So in other words, he was God. He was God. So he didn't have to go up and rob heaven and become the Son of God. No, he was the Son of God. He pre-existed before the world was. He was God. And he's still God. Let's keep going. But made himself of no reputation. So he said, look, even though I'm God, I'm coming down on earth. I'm going to be obedient to Mary, my mama. And I'm going to be obedient to my stepdad, Joseph, and whatever, I'm under their rule, and whatever they ask me to do, I'm going to do. And took upon himself the form of a servant, was made into the likeness of man. So what that's saying is Jesus, he never did a miracle. He never did not one miracle until he was anointed. So he was anointed. From the age of 12 years old, you never hear anything about Jesus. Except the fact that he said he was subject unto his parents. They went up to Jerusalem as it was their custom every year and paid their taxes and things like that and then worship in Jerusalem. But the thing was, Joseph and Mary thought that Jesus was with his other kinfolk, right? But then they were a couple of days journey away and they didn't see Jesus. So they had to say, where is he at? Where is he at? No. They found he wasn't with none of the relatives. So they had to go back. And then Mary kind of rebuked him a little bit, his mom, and said, he said, don't you know it must be about my father's business? And then it said that from that time on, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man because he was obedient to his parents. He was subject to his parents. And it said Mary pondered those things in her heart. But you never heard anything about Jesus until he started at age 30. When he resurfaced, he never did any works, anything significant that's recorded in the Bible until he was anointed. He emptied himself. He emptied himself. Does anybody have a different translation other than of King James? Because Amplified might say, go ahead. Oh, let's give her a microphone. Give her a microphone so she can hear. Here you go. She'll turn it on for her. Yeah, we want it to be recorded, what you say, Kip. Yeah, 2:27.
Okay, this is from the New Living Translation. It says, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form.
Praise God. So see, that makes it a little bit clean. I love King James because it's poetic. I love King James. I cut my teeth on King James. You see that the most important thing when you get read the Bible that you get understanding. So that makes it plain that he just emptied himself of all power he had and he became like a man, just like we are. Man and woman, amen? So, Jesus never did anything significant that was recorded in the Bible until he was anointed. Let's go to Luke, the fourth chapter. We're going to talk about how Jesus was anointed. Now, when I first read, when you go to Luke, the first chapter, when I first read that, I say, that's got to be a misprint. That's got to be a misprint. Because it said that he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by Slewfoot. Actually the devil, but I just, that's what I call him, Slewfoot. Luke 4:1. Now, we know that when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, right, God the Father looked down and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, right? So he was baptized, and the Spirit of God fell onto him like a dove. So he was baptized when he was baptized by John the Baptist. He also, the Spirit of God fell upon him as well. And then it says, Luke 4:1, it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. So the Spirit of God led him to be tempted in the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. But he overcame. He overcame the temptation that the devil tried to throw at him. You know how he overcame? The same way we're going to overcome. You know how he overcame? He said, it is written. Every temptation, he said, it is written. So guess how we're going to have victory in our life? by say it is written. We're gonna by through the avenue of the word, isn't it? Through the avenue of the word. Now, I want to go on and let's see. Let's go on down to verse 16. Let's go down to verse 16. And it says, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as it was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, you think when you come to your Jacksonville and you were raised in Jacksonville, everybody knows you, you think the mayor would give you the key to the city. You know, you're coming back home. You think, right? Now, here was Jesus coming back to his hometown, Nazareth, where he was brought up. He went into the church on Sunday, on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And so they brought the book of Isaiah to him, right? And this is what he said. Okay, it said, and he came to Nazareth, verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the covering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Guess what? On the day of Pentecost, every believer has the opportunity, from that day forward, had the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit of God. So guess what? I'm going to make this verse personal to me. Because Jesus didn't do any mighty miracles or anything of any consequence before he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. And you know why they got so mad at Jesus when he read that verse? And he said, today, this scripture was fulfilled in your ears. And he gave the book back to the attendant. And they were mad. They wanted to throw him off the cliff. But he slipped out the midst of them. So it said, they were so mad because they realized that he's saying, I'm inhabited with the Spirit of God. I am the Spirit of God. Because guess what? He said, I am the God. Because we're going to go to some parallel scriptures that show how Jesus, told how Jesus was going to be anointed to do the work that God called him to. But what happens is, I want all of us to say this. Lord, I thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is not only upon me, but it's on the inside of me. Father, you chose to not dwell in temples made with men's hands, but you chose to dwell in our mortal bodies. And you chose to dwell inside of us. Now, when the Bible talks about your heart, mind, and think like that, you have basically two minds. You have a mind right here, that kind of mess you up and it listens to religious stuff. Then you have a heart, mind right here. And that's your heart. That's the Spirit. That's where the Spirit of God resides. Just like the scriptures say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's where the Holy Spirit resides, on the inside of you. So you have that right there on the inside, that still small voice. And guess what? We're the most blessed generation that ever lived. Guess what? We don't just have the Spirit of God upon. We have the Spirit of God inside us. So I want you to say this. I thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is not only upon me, but is inside of me. Everything that I need for life and godliness is on the inside of me. And Father, when I tap into that power, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now I'm gonna out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, Bible says, let everything be established. I'm gonna give you a witness that shows that. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. I'm gonna realize that the enemy just on the outside. He just deals with your emotions, and he'll try to trap you up and sabotage you where you'll speak death to your life instead of life to your life. So what he does, he's a counterfeiter. And what he'll try to do, he'll try to get you to speak curses over your own life. But guess what? My Bible tells me that greater is he. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Praise God. So the enemy, he's a toothless lion. He was defeated over 2,000 years ago. My elder brother Jesus defeated him. He went down into hell, made an open shame of him, and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and made an open display of this guy. So he is the victor, amen? And we have the victory because of what Jesus did, amen? Jesus said, he said, guess what, boys? Guess what, girls? You think I did some good works on this earth? You're going to do greater works. You're going to do greater work because I go to my Father. You're going to do greater works than hell. You know what the greatest work that we can do? Is the salvation of the soul, lead somebody to Jesus Christ, the saving on, to translate, to get them translated from death to life. That's the greatest miracle that can ever be. Healing is good, you know, soundness of mind is good, all of that other stuff, prosperity is good, but the greatest miracle is getting somebody, from out of the clutches of hell into heaven. Amen? So that's the greatest miracle. Jesus was limited in who he could preach to. Guess what? We can preach a message, put it on YouTube, thousands of people hear it, and they can get saved. So guess what? We have the avenue, we have technology, we can preach, you know, you can preach to people throughout the world and just through the avenue of technology. So we'll do greater works than Jesus did, amen? We'll do greater works than Jesus. Jesus said it. So we can't say, well, you know, he was the Son of God. You know, no wonder, you know, he was so blessed. No. That's religion talking. That's religion talking. But read your Bible, and you'll find out that Jesus didn't do any works until he was anointed. Amen? And guess what? We're anointed. We're anointed. I'm going to give you another scripture that bears witness to what we say. In fact, when I was first got saved, that Sunday, Minister Holden, we left church and we went to the barracks to eat supper, and I had a pack of Cools in my shirt pocket. I used to smoke Cool cigarettes, and he said, you know, you're a Christian now, you know, you shouldn't be smoking them cigarettes. They're cancer sick. They're gonna kill you. And he said, your body's a temple of the Lord. I said, show me that in the Bible. So he showed me two scriptures. He showed me two scriptures in the Bible. So, two witnesses. So, 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, I never forgot those scriptures. I know where they are now, and I know how to, I could quote them. But guess what? I didn't know what it was, but when he showed me, went back to the barracks, and showed me that was in the Bible, you know what I had to do with my cigarettes? I had to break them up and flush them down the toilet. And then I had a whole carton. And I was reluctantly, I said, well, let me get these to somebody else. They cost a lot of money. He said, look, if they bad for you, don't you think they bad for somebody else? But he gave me two witnesses. So let's turn to those witnesses. First Corinthians 3 and 16. If you need any evidence you know what? God does not have a plan B. God does not have a plan B. You know what his plan A is? Us. Us. He didn't give the angels the charge to preach the gospel. He left it up to us. Amen. He said he's not coming back until the whole world be full with his glory, full of his glory. Guess what? We're containers of his glory. He trusts us. He trusts us enough to get the job done. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. Let's see now. I like, where's the microphone at? The other microphone. Yeah, would you read that, Jim? Would you read that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Praise God. So guess what? We are the temple of God. Remember we said that God didn't dwell in hands, temples made with man's hand, but he dwells on the inside of us. One more scripture. 1 Corinthians, 6 and 19. You know what? I'm gonna have to, you know, I didn't realize the time, but I'm gonna have to cut it off. But I'm enjoying myself. Could y'all give me another 10 minutes? Would y'all give me another 10 minutes? Okay, praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. What know you not? And now I want somebody else to grab the microphone and read that. And we got my twin sister on the line in Columbia, Georgia, listening to this. And we got my dad, 87 years young, listening with his caregiver. And so I want them to hear it. And so that's why we give the microphone, cause so they'll hear everything. So, Shante, would you read that, please?
What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. So the temple, we're the temple of God. We're the temple of God. God dwells inside of us. He dwells inside of us. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. And we have power. And just to prove to you that we have power, we're going to go to another scripture. Ephesians 3 and 20. Ephesians 3 and 20. You know, preaching is good because it brings inspiration. But teaching is good also. You know why? It brings information that you can live by. And so, like I say, I think we killed some sacred cows this morning, didn't we? We leave it up to the preacher. We leave it up to the powerful ministry. Guess what? We all have a part to play. Every member is a minister. Amen. Every member is a minister. Okay. Now, we want somebody to read that. And let's see the microphone. Pass the microphone.
Well, you got it. Mom, read that.
Go ahead, Shante. And then next scripture, Pat. Would you mind reading it? The next scripture. Okay. Go ahead, Shante.
Now,
you did good on the other one. Uh-huh.
Now unto him that is do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Praise God. Praise God. So you see, that was good. Give a hand clap. That was good, Shante. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, we just thank God for our youth, because they're the next generation. And we got to train them so that when we can pass the baton over to them. Amen. Praise God. So this is clearly states that it says that unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we might ask or think, according to the power that works in heaven on the throne. No? According to the power that works in Washington, D.C. No. Oh, okay, okay. Well, hold it now. I must be misquoting that. Let me. Okay, according to the power that works in us. Oh, okay. Well, thank you for correcting me. Thank you. Yeah, I was going on a religious tangent. I thought it, yeah. Oh, so the power, you mean God trusts us enough to let his power work in us? You mean little old us? Insignificant us? God thinks that much about us? That he's willing to trust us, to let his power operate in us? You mean the gifts of the Spirit can operate in us as the Spirit will? You mean I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Praise God. You mean God, the power of God, the healing power of Jesus can flow through me to somebody else? The anointing, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. I don't care what problem you're going through. If you get in the presence of God and let that anointing overflow, it'll break every yoke. You know what? Pray. Every yoke. Everything that has you bound. Everything that has you bound. Everything. There's a guy I was listening to the other night. His name is Steve what? Steve Swanson. Go on YouTube and listen to this guy. This guy is anointed. Anointed by God. I was listening to him lead people and usher people into the presence of God. And he's anointed. He's anointed. And during that praise and worship, when I was listening to him, I felt the manifested presence of God. I felt the manifested tangible presence of God. And guess what? Everything that was trying to bother me, guess what? It just dropped off. It's a yoke. It's anointing that breaks the yoke. Every yoke. Every yoke. Thank God for people laying hands on me. Thank God for the healing anointing. I thank God. But guess what? Everything that tried to attach itself to you, when you get in the presence of God, those shackles are broke. They fall off. They fall off. Get in His presence. Get in His presence. Get in His presence. Just let Him know that you love Him. You love Him more than anything. You want to be in His presence. And guess what? God will give you desires of your heart. And guess what? God's trusting in each and every one of us. He's not going to let nothing attach itself to you and let you be successful worker. So guess what? Anything that has you bound, it'll be broken off. Just like Paul. When Paul on that island, and he was getting some firewood, and a snake attached himself to him. That snake should have killed him graveyard dead. But you know what he did? God wouldn't finish with him. He shook it off. And where am I talking about? I'm talking about at Mark the 16th chapter. Amen. Mark the 16th chapter. Praise God. Mark the 16th chapter. That's for every believer. Every believer. Every believer. I don't care what kind of power, the witchcraft, the sorcerer, the voodoo, or I don't care what it is. It has no power over us. Amen. No power. Even if I drink something deadly and I don't even know and it's not my time to go, then guess what? It has no effect on me because I'm anointed. The anointing inside of me will break every yoke. Every yoke. Every yoke. Every yoke. Every thing that had me bound is broken. It's broken in the presence of God. Get in His presence. Get Him in His presence. Let Him know that you love Him. Let Him know that you just adore Him. Father, I worship You. I magnify You. I praise You for who You are. You are worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. God. And when God shows that you care that much about Him, guess what? Everything that tried to attach itself, it'll be broken. The yoke will be broken. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And you know what? I thank God for praise. I thank God for praise. Praise and worship. But there's a dimension of the anointing that's in you that I haven't experienced before, but I see it manifest. Josh, this is you, Josh. But the more you seek God, the more you seek God, you'll be able to, it'll be like instantaneous. It won't be a struggle. You'll instantaneously be able to usher it into the presence of God. And everything that you want, your heart's desire, questions that you had, they'll be revealed. The answers will come. In His presence. In His presence. In His presence. There's fullness of joy. In His presence. But we are, saints, we are anointed. Shante, you are anointed. Your classmates need you. They need to see a godly woman. They need a godly woman that loves Jesus. You are anointed. And guess what? God is dependent on you. Guess what? God will elevate you because you're called by His namesake. And He'll keep you from traps that other young people fall into because you're called by His name. You are anointed. You are a vessel of honor. And every one of us in the schools, in our jobs at the IRS or wherever we go, in our workplace, wherever we go, Bold City, wherever it is, God will cause the blessing of God to overtake us. Why? Because we're anointed. We're anointed. You know what? And people will sense there's something about Josh. I don't know what it is, but when I come in His presence, that the problems that had me bound, they're gone. That sickness that had me tormented is gone. It's released. I feel whole. I've been made whole. I've been made whole by being in His presence. And people be drawn to that anointing. People be drawn to that anointing. Saints, we got to realize that we are anointed. Say this. I thank You, Lord. That I am anointed. I'm Your child. And Father, I thank You that I'm Your plan A. You don't have a plan B, but You choose to, You chose to use me as a vessel of honor to represent You on this earth. And Father, I thank You because Jesus went to You. I'll do greater works than Jesus did. I'll be a light unto the world. I'll be that salt that they need. So thank you, Lord, for anointing me, for anointing me, that I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I might ask or think, according to your power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. So Father, I'm victorious in all that I do. And Father, I thank you that Jesus is even now sitting on your right hand. And he ever lived to make intercession for me. So Father, I thank you. He purchased me daily through the washing of the water of the word, that I might bear fruit for your kingdom. And I thank you, Father, that I have cause for rejoicing, because I obeyed your voice. And Father, I thank you that the blessing of God will overtake me. You want obedience more than sacrifice. So Father, I thank you. I magnify you. I glorify you. And I worship you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you counted me worthy to be your child. Father, I thank you for just writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Father, I thank you. I worship you. I give you honor. I give you glory. I give you praise. In Jesus' name. Now glorify him. Let's glorify him.